sermon series called Tipping Point. This great holiday weekend, I pray that you guys celebrate tremendously this weekend. Today I'm going to preach on a subject that probably none of us in here deal with, but probably somebody you know deals with it, so you can save the sermon, take notes, and send it to them. It's pride. All right? None of us in here struggle with that, right? But you know several people that do. So today that's what we're going to talk about, and I'm going to ask that you search your heart today. It's very easy for you to listen for somebody else, but this morning I want you to listen for yourself and see what God speaks to you. At the end of my message, I'm not going to do an altar call. What I'm going to do is the prayer room downstairs. If you need to hear from God for something, there's a team of people down there. And I know, just break the stigma in your head of feeling weird about or anything. But I want, if you need to hear from God or some things you're dealing with, there are people in the prayer room that are going to pray with you after service today that I would love for you to take advantage of. And for everyone here as well, if you notice you saw the tents when you walk out, we've got free snow cones for everybody. Just walk out and grab one. All right, if you don't take yours, I'll take it. I don't mind a brain freeze today. They got kettle corn today as well. It is not free. It's $3. So you can buy your own. Buy your neighbor some too. But let's pray. Father, I thank you. I pray that the word of God stands as a mirror this morning. I was convicted the entire time that I wrote this sermon or study for this. I pray that you search our hearts and show us where we deal with pride so that we can overcome it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me start with a definition of what pride is. Pride is inordinate self-esteem. Everybody in this room should have a level of confidence and self-esteem in yourself, but this goes too far. It goes to the point of conceit where I'm right and you're wrong. Pride. You may not say it, but it comes off in your actions. Say this with me. Pride is not cute. Let's say it again. Say, pride is not cute. I was reading this article of this man that had a pet water moccasin. And I don't know what went through his mind. He decided he wanted to kiss that water moccasin in the mouth. And guess what happened to that man? Got bit in the face. Face just swole up. I don't know what made him think that the water moccasin, even though you kept it in a cage and you called it a pet, it's not your pet. Pride is the same way. You may think it's cute. You may think you can play with it, but it will jump up and bite you at the worst times. Anybody know I'm telling the truth in here? Pride is something that we have a lot of good areas in our life, and it's easy to ignore these areas like this when it comes to pride, but I'm going to pray that you search your heart this morning. I'm going to give you a couple things. Here's a reason why I think you should deal with your pride, because it subtly gets in your heart and you don't realize it, but here's a couple things that pride does to you, all right? Number one, pride brings disgrace. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly there is wisdom. You have shame and disgrace with pride because you're stubborn and you're strong-willed. May I say, we are stubborn and we are strong-willed. Before I point anybody else out, it's hard to listen to people. You don't like to be corrected. You don't like to be told what to do. What, you're trying to control me now? You think you're smarter than me now? No, I'm just trying to tell you what's going to be better. Anybody ever gave you some advice and you got mad at them for telling you that you were wrong and you know you were wrong, but you just got mad because you were pointed out that you were wrong? That's pride. Let your neighbor say that's pride. Pride will keep you from a whole lot of stuff if you learn to overcome it. And I think many of us could learn how to listen because we are very quick to talk and instead of listening. Here's how you know you're dealing with this. Don't look straight ahead when I say this. Watch your reaction when you get corrected, when somebody tries to give you advice or tell you what to do. If somebody has to pick their time and say, hey, and preface a statement before they give you correction or they give you some advice, more than likely it's not them you're dealing with, pride. Barbara was giving me some advice on something, but it's actually correction. Anybody ever corrected and you think about it a day later and be like, wait, you tried to get me straight. And the whole time she was saying it, she said, do you hear me? And I ain't say a word. It was true, but I wasn't ready for it right then. Because I was dealing with pride. And here's the thing about pride. It brings disgrace because the person is normally right. And you're fighting with them the whole time. And the focus is not on what they're talking about. It's the person that's saying it. Because the whole time she was saying it, here's what I was doing. I was picking out all the reasons why she didn't have a right to tell me what she was telling me. Somebody say pride. Because it's very easy to discredit the person that's telling you. Because watch this. You have a bad reaction because you think, what do you discredit? What do you think, I'm dumb? What do you think, I'm stupid? What do you think, I don't see that? And all these things stir up on the inside of you, and it's called pride. And the thing that you hate happens. I hate to look stupid in front of people. I hate to look like I don't know what I'm talking about. But watch this. If somebody tries to correct me on something that I'm doing and I do not listen, I end up looking stupid anyway. So here's the reality. I got to learn how to swallow that pride and not live in disgrace because I listen. It says again, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. That is the humble. When you are humble, you are teachable. When you are humble, people can tell. You ever met somebody you couldn't tell them nothing? They had a story for everything. You got a story and they got one worse. Man, I had a cough. It lasted a month. That ain't nothing. My cough lasted a whole year. I mean, they got something to top everything you did. Man, I sold drugs. I was the baddest drug dealer. You the baddest drug dealer in Shelbyville. I had the whole state on lock. Like, do you got a knock for everything? It's called pride. And when you are humble, you will learn to listen to somebody. I had a lesson on listening. When we first got started, even though we out in the middle of nowhere, our church, when we got to this building, it really took off. It started to grow. And one of my pastor friends said, hey, we're getting a call now about what to do during the summer because people travel during the summer and your attendance is low. And I said, I've never experienced that. I don't think I need to be on that call. Oh, until a couple of years later, until the newness wore off. And people started to travel, and we saw low crowds, and I felt like a fool because I had to call the same person that tried to help me. Y'all right in here. And years later, and said, you remember that, what you were telling him? He didn't remember what we were talking about, but I had to eat humble pie and go in humility and learn something. Is that all right in here? The next thing that that pride does is it brings drama and discord. Proverbs 13 and 10 says this, but pride comes, by pride comes nothing but strife. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Discord and drama come from pride, and I won't stay on this a long time, but let me tell you how this looks like. Discord and drama come because discord often covers itself up in unity. And a person will come to you and say, we need to all get along. We need to do more stuff together. We need to come together. But the hitting link that they're not telling you is this: it needs to be done my way. And when it's not done my way, I'm going to take my ball and go home because you're not with the program. Can I tell you something in here? There's a whole lot of options people have in life. And if they don't take your option, it does not mean that they're against what God wants to do in this world. You got to learn that I am an option. I am a piece to a puzzle. But if I make you think if you don't do things my way, you're wrong, then we got a problem. Am I doing all right in here? Drama and discord come because I don't give you options. And if you don't go with my option, I think, oh my God, the devil is busy. No, maybe I didn't present my option good enough. Maybe I need to do a clearer job of presenting what it is. But drama and discord often come masked as unity. We need to get along. But here's the hook. It needs to be done my way. When you learn that there are more ways to do it than your way, can I talk to how many parents with kids? I mean, you, I guess you got to have kids to be a parent, right? Can I talk to the parents in the room in here? There is more than one way to do something. How many of us have argued because we wanted it done our way? And when it wasn't done our way, you forget the way you even trying to figure out. And you arguing for a month. I think his hair ought to be combed this way. I'm a man, it ought to be done this way. And you arguing over hair. But really, you know what it's over? Control. One of the biggest things that pride wants is control because it has to be done my way. Let me go on to this next one. You know what else happens when you're in pride? You end up being disliked because you're a jerk. Nobody else will say it, but I'm going to say it. When you are in pride, you end up becoming a jerk. Proverbs 14 and 3 says this, in the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. You are disliked in pride because of your words. It's not so much what you say, it's how you say it. Remember I told you my struggle is I don't like to look stupid. I told you guys I had a boss that was extremely smart. His office was about to where Deacon Hale is, and my cube was right here. And if I had a calculation wrong and I send it to him, he would not wait till he got to my cubicle. He would start talking from right where his office is. Jason, you're wrong, and I'm about to tell you why. Now the whole floor is sitting here looking at me. And I'm about ready to go to blows and just angry with this man, but I'm thinking, I got a mortgage, I got electric, so let me calm myself on down. Not because I was wrong, but because how he addressed how I was wrong. Can I tell you what happened to that gentleman? And God rest his soul, he died of a heart attack in the parking lot of our office because he wouldn't delegate. They found him. He left work at 4 in the morning. No joke. His wife said he thought about something that, oh, I can figure it out now. He left work. He lived 45 minutes from where we worked and drove to work. And he went to work at about 4 in the morning. And he did not come home that day. It was a holiday. his wife said, the last place we saw him was at work. Guess where the police, when they pulled up, they found him? Door wide open. He's sitting there with his head cocked back. Never made it. He got his stuff done, but he never made it back home. I'm not saying that is an extreme example, but when you are in pride, it's not just about being disliked. It's about doing things your way, and it's about being controlling, and I'm the only one that can do it, and you end up putting more on you than what you're supposed to put on you. And it ends up infecting your health. It affects your relationship. Anybody, don't raise your hand when I say this, but has anybody ever said to you, it's not what you're saying, it's how you're saying it. You need to change your tone, and you're like, what in the world am I saying it? When you don't say things right, you'll wonder why people don't like you, but the reality is, watch this. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what you believe about people comes out in your tone when you speak. So if I believe you're stupid when I'm speaking, I can be saying it right, but stupid is going to come out in my voice. That makes sense in here? If I believe you don't know what you're talking about, that's what's going to come out in my tone. How do I settle tone issues? For every person that's ever got that advice, you need to watch how you say things. You got to settle your heart issue. I got to come to terms with how I see you. Because when I see you right, I'll talk to you right. You all right in here? If I see you the way you're supposed to be seen, then the way I say things is going to come out right, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's not just what you're saying it, it's what you believe about the person that you're saying it to. Or about what you believe about. It ain't even about the person. It could be about where you're at in life right then. Settle it, because you will end up, that rod there, is, they said a fool deserves a rod of correction. And what ends up betraying you is your words when you're in pride. The next thing that pride does is this. It brings destruction. Proverbs 16 and 18 says this. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Destruction happens because of two things. If you guys don't hear anything I say, please hear me when I say this. There are two things that happen that brings destruction: arrogance and control. Destruction always comes, whether you're an athlete, whether you've got a business, whether you're a pastor of a church, whether you lead people, or you're just whatever you are. When you have an arrogant spirit about you, just know this: destruction is following you. Not because you're wrong, but because you'll end up tearing down the very thing you worked so hard to build. Pride is this self-confidence that's on steroids that says, I'm better than other people. You may not say it with your mouth, but your tone, the way you come off says it. It sounds like this: I'm right, you're wrong, and when you try to give people advice, you make them feel this big, and you wonder why they won't listen to you. It's a hard issue. It's not that, and watch this, that's where Satan gets in, because you're trying to address it, and let me tell you something, you're not crazy. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not crazy. What you see is wrong, but it's how you deal with it that's going to make it right. I'm helping someone here, right? Pride comes because of arrogance, because watch this, you prefer some people over others. If you see a person that has done well in life, you'll speak to them different than somebody you don't think has done as well in life. You'll speak to people who you're comfortable with different than you'll speak with others. You know what my fear issue was? When I'm fine preaching. Well, I get nervous sometimes, wonder if I put you to sleep, but this is my comfort zone. But when I would go to companies and when I would present their financials, I would always get nervous when their CFO or when the top executives were in the building. And the Lord dealt with me, and I said, God, help me to deal with my fear. And he said, Jason, it's not your fear that's a problem. It's your pride. He said, you're comfortable when you think you're smarter than everybody in the room. He said, but when you think somebody's smarter than you, that's when you start to second guess yourself, and that's when your confidence comes. It's not a fear issue. It's a pride issue. Many of us are struggling now, and we think, God, I'm dealing with fear. I'm dealing with, no, it's pride. You value people one over the other one. I want to tell you something about BFF. I don't care if you drive a Mercedes or your car. You had to push it up in here, and you praying now that somebody come pick you up when you leave. I don't care. Here's the thing about it. You don't know who you're sitting next to. Ooh, you don't know what they're going to become. God will take a person that can't put two verbs, a noun and a verb together, and can't finish a sentence. He'll take a person whose senior English teacher just gave him whatever that little thing was. What do you write at the end of your senior year? Your thesis, whatever that thing is. He just said, here, just you're going to graduate, just here. And now I done wrote two books and working on another one. God will take somebody who can't do nothing and make something out of them. The things that we think impress people, and get all degrees you want, but we rank people based off how we view them. And you don't have no idea what's inside of that person. We have this group, Stepping Stones, that come here. Here's the reality is we can't treat them any different than us. They're homeless. But most of us, if you be honest, you're a paycheck and family away from being there. And if your paycheck, you know, and my paycheck don't cover it, thank God for Uncle Buddy. Thank God for the person that worked hard their whole life and saved up their money and fuss at you the whole time they give you money, but they help you out with your rent and your electric bill. You are a support system away from that. So it's never good to look down on somebody. Don't raise your hand when I say this, but how many of you have ever looked at somebody and say, I can't believe they do that. I would never. And then you did what you said you would never do. You got to be careful how you rank people. You got to treat people right. Arrogance always brings destruction. You know what else brings destruction? Controlling nature. Pride is all about control. That's why it doesn't like to be corrected. That's why it doesn't grow. Do you know why we're so confident in what we know? You ready? You know why we're so confident in what we know? Because you know it. But you don't realize this. There's a whole world outside of what you don't know. And here's the part about maturity. You don't know what you don't know until you get in certain situations. I have said stuff like, my kid will never act like that until Isaiah cut a fool in GameStop. And I was afraid to yank him out of there because I didn't know if DCS or the police or the little man behind the counter, if he really was security, he just got keys. I didn't know what the man was. You don't know what to do until you get in a certain situation. But when you are controlling, you're going to do this. This is the way my life is going to be. My kids are going to do this. They're going to do this. You can't control nobody. Can I say that again? You cannot control anybody. There are a lot of parents who are blaming themselves because of what their kids did. I raised them to do this, and they went out and did this. Let me let you off the hook for a minute. The best daddy in the world, his son messed up the entire world. His name was God. He had a son named Adam. Messed up, and he had to send Jesus, another son, to correct it. It wasn't because he wasn't a good father. People choose to do what we want to do. I'm talking to somebody in here. We all make decisions. And here's the thing. You will drive yourself nuts trying to control. No, you got to do this. You got to do that. And you got to do this. Oh, my God. I told you don't date them and you still date them. Let them date them. The more you tell them no, they're going to sneak and do it anyway. Yeah, I'm going to preach to this side right here. Oh, it's the truth. Why are you telling me no? You might grow up in church where all they told you was no. Don't do this. Don't do that. Let me find out why they saying no. And you found out. And you live to tell about it. You know what I think we should do? Instead of controlling people, I think we should teach people how to make decisions. Because at the end of the day, I love Deacon Scales, but his life is not mine. I got to make my own decisions. I got to stand before God before my decisions. Maturity is, I'm a grown man at 42 years old. Y'all would laugh at me if I went up to him and said, Daddy, my shoe untied. And then y'all would laugh at him if he got down and tied it. Y'all think that's funny? But look at the way you treat people around you. You can't treat nobody like a baby and expect them to make grown person decisions. It's truth. You got to give people room and the grace to make mistakes, to figure things out on their own. Even when you sit, you know why? Because somebody gave you that room. Now, I'm not telling you let them run reckless and do all that stuff like that because there are limits. When I wanted to do crazy stuff, my money was off limits. His money was off limits. You can ruin your own money, but you ain't going to ruin mine. You all right here? So I'm going to let you make it, but I'm going to come there and help you. I don't know how I got stuck there, but when you are controlling, you want to make sure everybody does everything right. You put all this pressure on yourself, and watch this. Your job is to do what only you can do. Pride says, I got to make sure. No. Step back. You've done what you're going to do, and let them make their decision. Am I talking all right in here? The next thing that happens with pride is this. It's demotion. Proverbs 29 and 23 says this. A man's pride and sense of self-importance will bring him down. But he who has a humble spirit will obtain honor. Demotion because we are more image conscious than image bearing. I am more concerned with how I look than the image I bear of God through his son, Jesus Christ. I am more concerned with how I, to be honest, just pride issue. I want to be known as a good leader. I want to be known as a good preacher. I want to be known as a good person. But many times I have put the need to be liked over the need to be respected. And here's the thing about that. Always value respect over being liked. I'm not a Kobe Bryant fan. I don't like him, but I respect his game. I got a pair of Kobe Bryant shoes. That's because they're $30, and they look good at Nike. Not because I like Kobe. In life, most of us err on the side of being liked than being respected. When you are respected, there's a level of honor that people bring to you versus compromising yourself to be liked. When pride is in our heart, we're far more concerned with the perceptions of others than the reality of our hearts. Here's what we'll do. We'll fight to make sure our outward exterior is good, but we won't deal with the things that are really irking us in our heart. You'll deal with all your issues that people see, and you'll put under the rug the things that people don't see. Oh, a lot of us have a good face in here. We think you sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so at church, but oh, let us follow you home. Let us see how you cut up when nobody is around. That's why I think you should have heated discussions in public places. You ain't gonna cut up in no Charlies. You ain't about to take them little rolls and throw them across the room. You ain't about to take that little hot butter and throw it nowhere. You're gonna act like you got good sense. I gave somebody a rule right there. You want to have a heated discussion and go to Baskin Robbins. You ain't about to tear apart them 31 flavors. Why? Because we are so image conscious that you're going to keep yourself together. But if you at home, oh, brother, that fool will come out of you. And people are like, I can't believe you the same one that speak in tongues and got them floating butterfly hands when you worship God. No, that ain't the one to preach acting like that. No, that ain't the one hugging everybody. Oh, you're going to hug everybody at church and come home and act a fool. Because we deal with our public persona. And pride will not let us deal with the inner things on the inside of us. So it ends up bringing demotion the whole time you're going down. And watch this. You may not be demoted in the eyes of people, but the ones who love you the most have a hard time celebrating you because they know how you are in private versus how you are in public. Am I making sense in here? Not only you're a people pleaser, but here's what happens. The humble in spirit, the scripture says here, obtain honor. I was so pride conscious. I grew up in church where we shouted. Well, we didn't really have coordinated shouting. We just bucked. And when the Spirit of God came in, it's Pentecost church, that's what we did. So when I went to school, they didn't just shout. Tammy, we went to church together. Man, my pastor, he had coordinated footwork. Like he'd been practicing, taking tetanus lenses or something. And they shouted. And for years, I was nervous to praise God in front of people because I didn't want to look stupid. I shouted one time, and he cut a little joke with me. That was the last thing I needed. All you got to do is embarrass me, and I ain't doing that no more. My friends would come to church, and I'd be sitting here with my cool jacket on. I know God been good to me. I want to lift my hands. I ain't lifting my hands in front of them today. No, I ain't acting like that in front of all the people. I got to keep myself together. But finally, one day, I went through enough stuff that I had to take my cool jacket off. I had to take that pride off, and I wasn't worried about what nobody thought about. Anybody ever been to that place before? When you realize ain't none of them paying your bills. I love you, but you're not paying my bills. I love you, but you're not the one that's the source of my confidence, the source of my self-esteem. And I finally got to the point and said, my pride is keeping me held hostage. And I need to let this thing go. And I begin to lift my hands. And I would look around first, make sure nobody looking. I put them down real quick, make sure nobody didn't see me. I clapped a little bit, but I had to keep it together. But there came a point where I said, the humble receive honor. How do I humble set myself before God? Father, I thank you. Father, this is, you know, I don't even know all the words of these praise and worship songs, but they're good. You've been good to me. I'm not worried about nobody around me. It's just me and you right now. You know what happens when you worship God? You go into this place with just you and him. And when you honor God with your worship, he honors you with his presence. And there's no other place I'd rather be but in the presence of God. I dare you to try it right now. Just don't care who's around you. Say, God, I worship you. God, I honor you. God, I love you. Some of you, you never even lifted your hand before. You may do this. Just lift your hand up. It'll work. Just lift your hand up. Say, Lord, I worship you. God, I honor you. God, I thank you. God, I bless you. Just try it. Just try it. You've been good to me. You've been better to me than I've been to myself. And I just want to say thank you. Come on, I dare you to try it. I worship you. I honor you. I bless you. I don't care who's around me right now, just me and you. I normally try to keep it reserved or calm, but that, in this moment, I don't care about what my church background or anything is. This is right. Worship. Just try it. I worship you. I honor you. Try. Your hand may get tired. Just put up on the elbow. Just hold it up. Why am I lifting my hands? It's a sign of surrender. Yeah. Not my will. Pride says it's my way. But worship says it's your way. You know one of the best ways to deal with worship? Most of us struggle with this because when you worship, you're not in control. He is. And he loves to be in control. Jesus' name. Can I challenge you this? I got one slide. I'm through right there. Just to worship. When you're struggling with control and pride, go to a place where you're not in control and worship him. And athletes in the building, whenever your coach, I know this is not an athletic gym or anything, whenever your coach coaches you, the easiest thing to do is to spout back off with that mouth because you don't want to look stupid or dumb in front of your friends. man, take it. The Bible said, whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. If your coach, they're not the Lord, but if they didn't correct you, it means they don't love you. If somebody will watch you do things that they know are going to be detrimental to you and not say a word, they don't love you. But when somebody checks your attitude, when somebody knows that you're slacking and said, get it, they love you. That's what you need. You know how to overcome pride? I'll give you a couple things. Confess it. Even if you don't change it right then. I know I'm in pride right now, but it's just what I'm dealing with. Have confidence. Confidence is knowing where my help comes from, my strength comes from. And it ain't from my degrees. And I'm nothing against degrees. I'm not saying that. It's not from how you look. It's not from how smart you are. My confidence is knowing that he that has begun a good work in me shall perform it. Honor and receive those others for who they are. I had the opportunity, Richard, I was over a youth department once when I was in Chattanooga, and this kid used to come with his girlfriend. And when I saw him when he was in high school, so I was in middle school. He could always sing, but I ain't think nothing about it. Years later, I saw him when we were in Nashville, and I went up to him. When you have pride, you belittle people. I said, oh, that's little so-and-so. And then they said, little so-and-so? They said, that dude's got perfect pitch. That dude's a phenomenal voice teacher. That dude's got a phenomenal. I still saw him as this. They saw him for what he was. When you have pride, you don't see people for what they are. You see them for what they were or for what you want them to be. But honor people for who God says they are. And the last thing is this, make it about what it's about. Half of us are upset about stuff, but we're not upset about the issue. We're upset about how the issue made us look or how the issue made us feel. Take your feelings out of the equation and say, I'm going to make this about what it's about. And when you do that, God will do incredible things in your life. Can you stand to your feet all over the building? I'm going to pray this scripture, and then we're going to give. David says in Psalms 139, 23, and 24, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And if there be any grievous way in me, lead me in the way of everlasting life. It's easy for you to think that I'm talking about some egregious, some sin in your life. What I'm talking about may not be the sin, the moral sin you're talking about. I'm talking about your attitude, how you treat people, how you make you think you're better than people, how you respond, how you won't listen, the stubborn. I'm talking about that part of you. And I'm asking you to have God help you to deal with that. Can I tell you this? I'd rather humble myself than have God humble me. And when God does, it's not pretty. But when I choose to do it, God will honor you with life. Father, I thank you. We're going to see tremendous tipping points in our life when we deal with our pride. In Jesus' name, amen. Do me a favor. Don't even say nothing to nobody. Just look at them in the eye and just shake the hand. That's all you can say about pride. Just, I'm going to do better. Can y'all sing it? It's going to get better, better, better. Something. Can you bring that back in better? Let's lift it back up for a moment. Yeah.